Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up.
Hello, all you beautiful, sexy, gorgeous patriots out there, and welcome to episode 7 of Deplorable Nation. I am your lovely host, Deplorable Janet, coming to you large and in charge from the Deplorable Janet Autonomous Zone. There's no nonsense here. Even my bunnies drink beer. And the Twitter Nazi purging is in full gear. So today on this episode, Mr. Matt could not join us. He's got prior scheduling engagements. He's actually recording right now. So my lovely friend Bob's Lessons has agreed to be my co-host today. How the hell are you, Bob?
Doing great, Jane. I'm glad they let you out of Twitter jail to get some sunlight for a little bit. So I'm happy that I get to hear your voice.
Well, that's a lie because I came off of a 7-day ban from Twitter prison for answering Jim Acosta about China and TikTok, and I call them a baboon, and they don't like that. So I waited the whole entire 7 days. My account was locked, couldn't look at anything. Then they finally let me in my account Monday evening. So I get in, I read 2 emails, and then I'm banned again.
So all you did was
7 days.
All you did was go in your inbox?
I went in my inbox and read 2 email messages. And now I'm completely locked out of my account. It said that I could browse or look at DMs or send DMs. That's a lie because it's completely locked. I cannot get into anything. So I do have email notifications turned on. So for all the people that keep sending me emails or tagging me and stuff, I can't see it because I can't get my account. So I'm banned again until next week and we'll see what happens.
So you didn't send a single tweet. I wonder if it has anything to do, because it wasn't your initial suspension. They told you you needed to delete and apologize, basically.
Delete and apologize. Yes. And I did not. Mm-hmm. So then my ban was up and all I did was read 2 emails and then I'm banned again for violating Twitter rules.
You know, I've told you for a long time, I think you've been shadow banned for years. You've been shadow banned for a long time. I don't know what started it. And I don't know, you know, obviously at this point, there's certain algorithms and certain trigger words. You know, we see a lot in our community where you have to disguise words, and we can talk a little bit about like the camouflage and stuff later. But, you know, I don't know if baboon was a trigger word, but it's not like you're using baboon in the text, you know, of calling the media baboons, you know, like, and I don't know if that's an offensive word to Jim Acosta.
Yeah, they said it's hate speech and I threatened him. So if calling the media baboons is hate speech and threatening behavior, what the hell do they consider all of these fucking Antifa groups and shit that are all over Twitter actually threatening violence against people? Or how about all the people that are threatening the president's life on Twitter? That's okay. That's not considered hate speech or threats.
Right. It's so ass backwards. And that's why my number one is destruction of PC culture and, you know, anti-censorship. So I'll always support the side that's more free speech. And when you're seeing this, that this is what happens. It's like, who determines what language is correct and what language isn't? It's whoever's in power at that particular time. You know, right. So if it's a specific ideology, you're seeing what's happening on Twitter where one ideology is getting erased. And it's just crazy how it's the ones that are trying to erase history that they're repeating history, you know?
Right.
That's the funniest thing about it.
And like in my opening when I said the Twitter Nazis about their purge, think about this. This comes from Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. who Hillary Clinton praised and even did an entire paper on it. That's what we're seeing now with the whole Twitter purge, is that you pick the target, you freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so think about like all of the humongous accounts that have been removed lately, and they did it again today. So today it got, you know, Praying Medic, Lisa May Crowley, and a whole bunch of other accounts.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing is like, you know, and Tommy talks about this too, that you're taking away traffic. Like you're almost taking away business from yourself as Twitter, and you're asking yourself, why would Twitter ban all these accounts? When if you think about the tens of millions of impressions that these accounts get, which is advertising dollars. And, you know, as a matter of fact, James R. Of Pirate Radio was talking about this, how Twitter operates on in the red. And, and they almost do that on purpose. Like they're sabotaging themselves, but they're operating on the red, but other people are using them as like a facilitator, you know, to get their point across. So they don't need to operate in the green, which is why you're seeing this.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a really scary thing though. I mean, anybody and everybody should be absolutely terrified of this, because this is no different than communism and the CCP and all the other governments that are communistic. Because what do? They control every outlet as far as news media goes. And so they're shutting down the free exchange of ideas, the free speech, freedom to discuss topics. There is no discussion. You will believe whatever Twitter says that you should believe. And if you don't believe that, then they remove your account.
Right. And you're seeing the people that follow this philosophy, the ones that bend to the rule, they have the same mentality when it comes to discussing issues. Think like me or I'm canceling you. You know,
right.
And
the cancel culture,
the ones that buy into the cancel culture and, oh, deplatform, blah, blah. Now, let somebody deplatform themselves. If they're spouting off these quote unquote outrageous conspiracy theories like you're talking about, eventually they're going to be found out as a fraud. So let the free market of ideas determine whether or not this person rises. But like I said, you know, cream rises to the top, you know, truth will rise out like a weed. So, you know, what we're seeing is a lot of these accounts are growing and they're threatening the old guard.
Right.
And we're also seeing the collusive nature of it, you know, because it's not just Twitter that's doing it. It's a lot of different platforms that are doing it simultaneously too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you know, Greg and I were discussing that in Australia now, if you speak out regarding COVID, something different than what the World Health Organization spouts, they can fine you.
Right. I mean, what
they're going to fine you for voicing an opinion or questioning the narrative.
And here's the thing. All I'm asking for is the option, right? So like I want the option to talk about alternative healing methods. I can put into my body what I want to put into my body. If it poisons me, fucking that's my fault, you know? But like to tell me like I can't speak on a different remedy. They call it practicing medicine for a reason, okay? If we had this thing figured out, there would be a cure for everything, but we are practicing medicine. We're still throwing darts at a board to figure out what works. And so
that's exactly what they do too.
Yeah. You know, even I had a doctor appointment today, and my doctor's fantastic, by the way, like one of the best doctors I've ever been to. And even he's getting roped into the saying like, oh, you know, you're going to need to get your flu shot. And then when the coronavirus vaccine comes in, you know, we're going to have to get you that. And I'm sitting here thinking like, do we? I mean, like, are you going to force me to get these two vaccines? Because I'm going to deny them. I'm not going to accept them. But, you know, when they push this stuff, you know, even some of the best of the best, you know, they're compartmentalized just like the FBI, just like anything. And so doctors are on a need to know, you know, they probably don't get the full scope of the information. They could get propagandized. You know, we talk about drug reps that come in all the time that push certain drugs and hide others. So we have billions and billions of dollars at stake, which is why what President Trump said was so important about how he's going to have a lot of rich people coming after him because of some of the, you know, stuff he's doing in the pharmaceutical industries.
Right. Taking out the middleman and cutting out their profits.
Yep.
And they're fucking pissed about it.
Sure. I mean, that's their bottom line. I mean,
of course they are, because that's how they pad their pockets. That's how, you know, their CEOs and top leaders of all of the drug companies make millions, and they're worth millions or billions of dollars.
Yeah. And it's the same thing in any industry. Like, best example I can use is like the tobacco lobbyists. When they were getting into trouble because everybody was getting cancer, and they send in these just powerful lobbyists. And there was this one guy who wrote the famous book called How to Lie with Statistics that Bill Gates loves, by the way. The book's called How to Lie with Statistics. And I know, you know, it sounds bad, but like it actually was one of the most popular books in statistics schools because it kind of, you know, shows, ways in which you can
manipulate data.
Yeah. Like, I don't think the book was sinister in that way, but it's basically in showing you the ways that, you know, you can screw up in statistics. It kind of teaches you how to be a criminal with it, if that makes sense.
Right. Absolutely.
So
that's what the business is. I mean, that's the business of pharmaceuticals. That's the business of vaccines. That's the business of the COVID crap right now is to alter statistics in a way that looks good for them.
Yeah. And so, you know, what they do is they take people like this that wrote this book. So the second book this guy wrote was called How to Lie with Tobacco Statistics, and it never got published. But people got onto this guy because they were like, are you being owned by the tobacco lobbyists? And then when he appeared in court on more than one occasion to defend the tobacco industry through the use of statistics to show that there's no link between cigarette smoking and cancer. So you can imagine the amount of money that gets thrown into protecting tobacco. Sugar, by the way, was another one that had a lot of.
Oh, right.
The sugar lobbyist was the one that created that stupid food pyramid, you know, and told everybody that fats are bad and, you know, like, here, take this fucking sugar bar. And, you know, people weren't losing weight because they were just replacing fats with refined sugars. So, you know, there are powerful lobbies in place that are doing this, whether it's in medicine or whether it's in news, you know, and there's an old guard in place. And so we're seeing holistic, you know, any doctor that's preaching anything different. And I love the language they use, alternative healing. Like,
right.
What is the alternative? Like, we're talking about stuff that comes out of the ground. That's an alternative healing method? Is sunlight alternative healing? I'm confused by that.
Well, you know, and like the other day I was listening to Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence with Jack and, it was on Conspiracy and the Force podcast.
Okay.
And he had Jack on and they were discussing like the mushrooms and stuff that, you know, like, what's it called? Oh, my.
Like microdosing, maybe? Or I don't know.
It's a specific kind of mushroom that's kind of like an LSD trip.
Like psilocybin? I don't know what it would be called.
People talk about it for like time travel and whatnot anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been used by like Indian people and stuff for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for healing and stuff. They're actually doing studies right now using that particular mushroom
mm-hmm.
to treat people with depression.
Yeah.
Anxiety and stuff like that.
And PTSD.
I mean, that's been around for a really long time, you know, roots and, you know, leaves and stuff like that. Because back in the old days, do you think they had that kind of shit?
Mm-mm.
You know, they didn't have drugs and stuff back then. They used natural herbal healing things.
Mm. Yeah. And so, listen, I'll just say this on air. I have taken psychedelic mushrooms before, and it is, you know, not in large doses, but I've done it more than one occasion. And I can tell you, it does have like, it's almost like a euphoric mental cleansing, and you come out of it with like a deeper meaning of things almost. And I'm not telling anybody to do this, you know, like, yeah, I don't recommend really taking anything unless you consult or, you know, look it up for yourself. Right. But I, you know, just the few times I have done it, you know, I did receive, you know, kind of like, yeah, like a mental cleansing. I, you know, if I had taken it with the mentality of, okay, can I actually use this, you know, to treat like depression, maybe I would have, you know, taken a more medicinal attitude towards it rather than, you know, hey, let's get, you know, tripped out and listen to, you know, like, you know, Widespread Panic or whatever, you know.
Zeppelin.
Yeah, Zeppelin, you know, like all, you know, all that stereotypical, hey, let's watch, what is it, Pink Floyd synced up to, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
All
there
that. I think we watched a Yellow Submarine. That was a pretty trippy one. But we all sat around and watched Yellow. I don't know how much healing we did that night, but yeah. I mean, the moral of the story is, you know, we want the option, you know, to treat ourselves, especially when it's natural methods that, you know, really, you know, when you take something natural, if it doesn't work, it's not going to have like a really bad side effect unless you might have an allergic reaction to it.
Right.
You know? So. You know, it's really just
not like the allergic reactions that you're going to have to actual medications and pharmaceuticals.
Yep. All those pharmaceuticals have side effects. That's what I'm saying. The word choice that they use is hilarious. Like, I'm trying to remember who said this, but it's a really good thing, you know, that they use these words. Like, imagine if they said Secretary of War instead of Secretary of Defense. Right.
Right.
Like, I'm the Secretary of War. It would put this notion into people like, yo, we don't want to go into war. We don't want to go. But if you say Secretary of Defense or Department of Defense, right? We're the Department right. of Defense. We are defending, right? That gives you the mentality of, yes, defend, protect. If they called it the Department of War, well, then it sounds more aggressive and that we're more like, you know, trying to conquer the world, you know? So the language is so important. So that's why when I see things like alternative healing, you know, like, oh, this mm-hmm. is the alternative. Well, what if the alternative is the fucking cure? You know,
exactly. That's 100% true. And I mean, you know, if they did say Secretary of War, how many taxpayers would be like, oh, we're not funding that.
Exactly. No, let's get
no,
rid
absolutely
of
not.
Yeah, we don't need the Department of War, you know,
right.
You know,
so they got to always do that with, and that's with everything that they do. They always have to, I'm going to say pussify. They always have to soften and pussify terminology.
Yeah, it's softened, pussify, but it's also calculated because, like, for example, EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, they're protecting right. the environment. So then what happens? Everybody defends the fucking EPA. You know, like, oh, Trump's defunding the EPA. That means he doesn't care about the environment. Dumb fucks. Like, that is not synonymous. It's the same thing as saying just because you don't support BLM, it doesn't mean you don't support Black Lives. These are two separate entities. But if you called it Environmental Destruction Agency or Environmental Land Grabbing Agency, which is what they're doing. Then, you know, you have a completely different mentality towards it. But, you know, it's amazing how people can get tricked by the language.
100%. That's yeah. exactly right.
Anywho, so yeah, you want to talk about this purge a little bit? You know, since you're like in the middle of it and I have zero, I don't have like any flags except for like a search ban or something. Like, I'm sitting here clean right now.
Are you a psyop, Bob?
I'm starting to think I am. I you know, it's like, everybody else is getting taken away and I'm roaming free out here. I'm saying like, hey,
and pick you know, it's so funny because like, you know, I've been having to spend my time on Parler.
Mm-hmm.
Great that the platform exists. However, it is honest to God, it bores me to tears.
Is it not user friendly or like in the engagement bad or what needs to be worked
on?
The
engagement is bad. Hold on, I got a burp.
You're good.
The engagement is bad. You know, people, instead of likes, it's called upvotes. So if you tweet something, or it's called parlay. If mm-hmm. you parlay something, then people upvote it. But, like, very few people ever comment. I can't find most of my followers from Twitter.
Right.
On there. You know, it's fucking boring, but they were talking about how, like, Twitter's removing the largest accounts.
Yes.
Bitch, I don't have that large of an account.
Yeah.
I have 13,700 followers. I don't have 250,000. I don't have over a million. I don't have any of that. Nowhere near that. But I think their whole thing with me especially is I talk about masks. I talk about COVID. I talked about vaccines like all the time.
I was about to say that. I think that's the number one thing they're targeting right now. Other than QAnon, I would say they're probably going stronger against anti-COVID fucking propaganda.
Well, obviously it's anti-China or anti-Jim Acosta or Brian Stelter crap, because that's the second time now. First time was with Brian Stelter, and then the second time was with Jim Acosta. And you know, you can't talk about China, you can't talk about Corona, you can't talk about masks or vaccines or like anything, whatever. So, you know, can't talk about hydroxychloroquine or other treatments, other cures. You can't talk about the Rockefellers or, you know, the Rothschild family. Can't talk about pedophilia. You can't talk about saving the children from child trafficking.
Right.
Because that's the day the huge ban happened.
Right.
Was when the Save the Children March took place.
Correct.
For World Trafficking Day. And that's when the first ban happened. And of course, that's what the name of the fucking podcast was.
Of your podcast.
And that's the fucking day I got banned. Yep.
Wow. Okay. So, it, you know, that's
just dropped, and like an hour later, that's when I was removed off Twitter.
This is actually a really good topic because, you know, we had a small discussion, but we didn't get into details about it. What I noticed with the hashtag Save the Children is, you know, you saw this, that, you know, there was like Facebook groups, right? Hashtag Save the Children that got taken off, right?
Right.
Or if you autofill, like let's say you type in hashtag save the and it tries to autofill, it'll do like save the children and misspell it, right? Or it won't autofill it at all, or it won't put it in trending or anything like that. It does whatever it can to suppress the hashtag save the children. And so now what I'm seeing is when I'm doing hashtag save the children, people are commenting saying, hey, don't do hashtag save the children, because that has to do with an organization that Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, donated money to. Do hashtag save our children. And part of me is like, okay, is this save the children like a, another PSYOP or anything like that? And then the other part of me is like, are they trying to get us to change the hashtag because hashtag save the children is working? Because the way I look at it is this. Hashtag save the children. Not many people know about the organization with Bill and Melinda Gates, but they sure as fuck are going to know about what people are talking about. And they're sure as fuck going to know that people are marching on Hollywood. And so I really don't think that this particular hashtag, and I could be completely wrong, is going to be, you know, is going to direct people towards the Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, funded savethechildren.org. What do you think about that?
I was just going to say, what you said makes perfect sense, because look at all of the bad press that Bill Gates has been getting lately. Somebody is directing you to not use that hashtag, but go with a different hashtag. When you put in hashtag save the children, it probably does link people to articles that they just searched that hashtag about that organization that was founded in like 1919 and whatever, England or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
Anyway, but then it's going to also prompt people to look up the amount of money that Bill Gates has given, what exactly the Save the Children Foundation has been doing.
Right.
So somebody came up with this, use Save Our Children instead, because it directs you away from looking into shit.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Why not use both hashtags? You know, like you don't have to replace one with the other. Fucking put both the hashtags on there. It just reminds me of Pizzagate, where they're trying to direct you away from the Podesta emails and onto the Comet Ping Pong. And there's another thing that we discussed at the beginning, that there's a movie coming out called Duncan. It's called Duncan, and it's a Pizzagate like inspired like horror flick, right? With here, let me pull it. Actually, let me think of the article because I want to read the first top of this. Oh, and of course, it was written in the Daily Beast.
Of course, was it written by our friend Will Sommer?
Let me see. No, he took the day off.
Oh, darn it.
So it says, okay, the Pizzagate horror movie shunned by Hollywood. And then it says down the rabbit hole. Listen to these fuckers. So it says Duncan is a Pizzagate inspired horror movie about an unlikely duo who investigate a tip that democratic lizard people are eating babies at a pizza joint. I'll just read the first paragraph. For a movie that bills itself as Grindhouse Pizzagate satire, there's precious little Grindhouse or Pizzagate and Duncan new indie thriller, but it is satire and shockingly effective. So it's a satirical film that pokes fun at people that are looking into Pizzagate because they think it's democratic lizard people are eating babies in a pizza joint. Do you see how this distraction works? I mean,
exactly.
This is what they're doing. They do whatever they can to divert us away from the real Pizzagate. Because what's happening right now? Tom Hanks, you remember he had to close off his Instagram because people are typing pizza, 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 pedo. I even did a video of that on my YouTube, just scrolling through his Instagram. Everybody's putting, you know, pizza emojis. Chrissy Teigen, pizza emoji. You know, like the Pizzagate starting to come out, and then boom, all of a sudden this satirical, you know, propaganda film called Duncan about crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists, you know, trying to track down democratic lizard people comes out, you know.
Which, you know, I want to know, where the hell are all of the conservative filmmakers? Because kind of like that one that, you know, after the Parkland shooting was supposed to come out and then they banned the movie, they put it back for release for quite a while because they didn't think it was appropriate to like release it during that. And it was called like The Hunt or The Hunted, where they had all the MAGA people that they rounded up and took to a hunting field.
I do remember that. I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that. So you're asking, where are the conservative filmmakers?
Yeah. Why aren't conservative filmmakers even doing, I know you're not going to get anywhere in Hollywood, but why are they not making shit going after the Democrats instead of, you know, like, it's all the Republicans, they're crazy, they're, you know, whatever.
I guess I look at like a, I don't know if I look at like a Dinesh D'Souza or something like that, but, you know, there's not much as far as like in the realm of arts and entertainment, conservatism. And, you know, like you're saying, if you're a conservative in Hollywood, you're out. So you have like the one example of like Mel Gibson, right? Who got, you know, he got shunned. And this is how the blackmail stuff works, because listen, I could find blackmail on any single person on Hollywood. And then if they don't tote the line, we expose them. That's what happened to Mel Gibson. And so then he made The Passion of the Christ and made hundreds of millions of dollars, to where then he did Apocalypto and he did other movies like that.
Right.
So I don't know if I'd call him a conservative director, but that is an example of somebody that kind of broke the mold. But it's so difficult in the movie industry to get the funding, to get the support, to get the actors, and, you know, especially in an industry that's almost monolithic, you know, at this point. So it is tough. We do better in the realm of news. We do better in the realm of documentaries. We do better in the realm of YouTube. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, where are all the people, though? Put out more, you know, like the Out of Shadows and all that stuff. People put out more of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm asking you to put out more of that, because that's what people need.
Well, and here's the other thing, and I will pat myself on the back for a second, is that I did dive into the realm of music satire, you know, conservative music satire, which you don't see. And it was met with a lot of, you know, praise, and also, you know, I got a lot of, you know, negative comments as well. But political satire in general is, you know, not done by realistically, most art is not done by conservatives. I would say most conservatives are more like pragmatic thinking, you know,
right?
And that's why I think we need each other, you know, because I, you know, although I consider myself conservative, I have that artistic side. So I know the other side, the other part of the brain, of the collective brain. And conservatives need liberals, liberals need conservatives, you know, not just from a political standpoint, but just from a balance standpoint. But in the realm of art, conservatives aren't really that well represented. So, you know, but, you know, that's why all the censorship's happening on YouTube and Twitter is because that's where we, you know, that's where we congregate.
Right.
You know? So.
But it's okay to be a liberal and make vagina museums that you take little kids to.
Yes, because that's art, right? So, I mean, you can say anything's art, you know? As long as you classify it as art, it's cool, you know?
I'm going to make a butthole museum. I am, and I'm going to have, like, this is Jim Acosta's butthole. This is Brian Stelter's butthole. Yeah. So, anyways.
You know how long that stays up for, you know?
I know, right? I'm going to, like, open my own gallery, the Butthole Adventures.
Oh, that's so funny. But, you know, it's just funny because one of the things that scares me, and this is something that I've seen for a while because I'm a big fan of comedy. If you just watch the disintegration, is that the right word? Disintegrate? Yeah. Of comedy, like erosion of it
right.
You know, from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s, 2000, like just listen to the topics that they're allowed to joke about, like the stuff that they talked about 20 years ago. Because if you really want to check the pulse of a society, you go straight to comedy. Because not only are they're the philosophers and they're the court jesters of our society, but they also check the pulse. They're the ones that talk about the taboo shit that right. Nobody else is allowed to talk to. But comedians are great philosophers, and we're starting to see that PC culture is invading comedy, and we're seeing comedians getting canceled for all kinds of stupid bullshit. That's another area.
Only certain comedians.
Right.
Other comedians, it's okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you go by the guidelines, and, you know, like even that famous video where it shows, five different late night talk show hosts telling the exact same Trump joke word for
right.
word. And I didn't know this because I was never a Jay Leno fan. I was always told to hate Jay Leno because he's an asshole. But he did a lot of fucking Obama jokes. Like, deep-cutting Obama jokes. And you know, it almost made me think, like, because I always try to do this. I'm like, okay, who is infamous? Like, who do they, like, who are the people that they try to get rid of or exterminate? Let's think about these people. So, like, everybody attacked Jay Leno for being a fucking asshole, right, when he left, mm-hmm. you know? You don't hear Jay Leno talking politics. When he was doing his monologue, he was fucking going at Obama hard. What I mean, like, hard, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure he referenced shit like Fast and Furious and Iran and like some pretty deep cut shit. And I'm wondering if that was part of the reason why, we're supposed to hate, you know, Jay Leno. I don't know. Maybe he's a prick. I don't know. But all I know is that all the people that are fucking shitting on Jay Leno, now they're spewing all this like liberal propaganda now, including Conan O'Brien, by the way, who I was a big fan of. So I found that interesting when I watched some of his monologues. So it kind of got me into, and I know we talked about this pre-show too. I made a tweet that your lovely husband decided to retweet, and I appreciate that, talking about how Nickelback isn't that bad.
Right? We talked about that before. You only hate what they tell you to hate, and you don't even know why you hate it.
Don't know why you hate it. So here's the tweet. I said, I think people suffer from Nickelback derangement syndrome in a similar manner as leftists suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. They hate it, but they can't explain why. It's a herd mentality. Break away from the herd and listen to Nickelback. Admit to yourself that it slams. So basically what I'm saying is, like, if you... this can apply to anything that you're told to hate, you know, like just sit back and say, do I really hate this, or I really don't like this, or it's not for me because that's my decision? Or is that because what the herd is telling me to do? And then when I thought, you know, I actually sat down, I watched a live, you know, I'm a musician. So, you know, I watch this stuff just critically, not just as a fan, but as a musician. And I watched some live performances and I was like, these guys are clean. They're great musicians. They sound good live. Let me check out their albums. Wow. I mean, they have a formula that works. The songs are catchy. I'm humming them all day. Why do I hate Nickelback? Like what is it about them? And it was kind of like a similar epiphany I had with Trump. Yeah, it's like everybody's telling me to hate Trump. I can't really come up with any reasons. Like, he's funny as shit. He's strong. I mean, look what he did in his presser yesterday, where the Secret Service had to escort him out, and they came back and they were like, you know, are you rattled? And he just looks at him. He goes, do I look rattled? I was like, fuck.
And I just want to say that man takes more slings and arrows than I think anybody in the history of the world ever has, outside of course of Jesus.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, you know, and here's a context for me. Okay. So sometimes, you know, people come at us and they're fucking nuts and we get all kinds of crazy hate and, you know, people stalking and people being all psycho. But think about, in the context of your life, what the context of his life has to be like. Literally every fucking moment of every day, people want to kill you. Mm-hmm. You know, people are constantly calling him names, calling in threats, doing like everything under the sun. And I'm like, okay, you know what? My problems are not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable what he has had to withstand these last 3-4 years. You know, I mean, from the moment, honestly, not from the moment he took off, from the moment he really won the Republican nomination, in my opinion, that's when they started the spy campaigns. That's, you know, it might have even been before that, but that's, you know, once he won the Republican ticket, the fix was in, right? He was the Pied Piper candidate. He was the Washington Generals to the Hillary Clinton Harlem Globetrotters. He was supposed to lose. Right. I'm not saying it was a setup, but they, you know, when the information came out that the DNC was rigging the primaries.
Yeah, it was totally a setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
They never thought she would lose. And that's what our favorite Anon always says. They never thought she would lose. And when she lost, Russia, 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 Russia.
And they're still trying to bring that back to this day. Mm-hmm. And I just want to bring this up, okay, for people that don't know. I watch trafficking arrests all the time. Always watching the pedophile stuff. You know, Sheila keeps record of it. She's going to be on the show with me next week. However, I want you to understand this. Since Trump's first day in office, the very first day he signed the executive order about child trafficking and human trafficking, since he took office, there have been 3,138 arrests in the United States alone.
That's shocking. I mean, it's like astounding.
Okay, so think about how much hate that he gets and like just complete total horseshit, made up stories and all this other crap. I want you to understand, since he took office, 23 Democrats and 15 Republicans have all been either jailed, fined, fired, whatever. So 38 members of fucking Congress.
Is that just Congress alone?
That's Congress alone.
Jesus.
These are your 38 members of fucking Congress. And you tell me, and most of them being Democrat, yes, there are some Republican pigs too. However, do you wonder why it is that they sling so many arrows at Trump when you have that many members of Congress that have been convicted? And guess what? There's one fucking Democratic member that nothing happened to other than he was censured.
Hmm.
Are you kidding me? That's like going, shame, shame. Naughty, naughty. Don't do it again. I know you just raped a 13-year-old repeatedly.
Well, that's why, you know, when we say drain.
Bad boy.
When we say drain the swamp, I mean, there's people protecting people, protecting people.
That's exactly what's going on. And so I want people to understand the broad picture of the fact that Trump is the only president in the history of the United States who has gone after aggressively human traffickers and child traffickers.
Wasn't there just an EO?
Assets, yes. Yeah. Gone after the assets, forfeitures assets, seizing assets, et cetera, shutting down websites mm-hmm. that promote trafficking, et cetera, has made so many arrests, plus has a pact with other nations to do the same, which they have been cracking down on.
Right.
And you wonder why they're so angry with him being the president. They can't give you actual, concrete, solid evidence that he did this or that. It's like, oh, he's a racist. Oh, he's a homophobe. Oh, he's an Islamophobe. He's a xenophobe. He's a this, he's well, a that.
Let's think about this. What happened with Pablo Escobar when they started fucking with his supply? You know, he started killing right. everybody. Friends, family, cops. I mean, like, if you look at the, you look at the same way you look at as an international drug dealer, you know, he paid the police off, he paid the press off, politicians.
Right.
And right. so what we're seeing is somebody that's in office right now that's saying, all right, we're not allowing this anymore. And so you're going to piss off some very rich and very, well-to-do people that have been getting away with certain crimes for a very long time. I mean, if you're exactly. saying over 30 congressmen, have been arrested, fined, fired, whatever you want to say. That's like more than 5% of Congress. I mean, there's only 530 something Congress people. So that is a significant amount. Imagine if we said that. Imagine we said 5% of teachers or police officers have been arrested for pedophilia or for whatever. You know, like that's a large chunk. You know, and we're talking about people that were elected officials, too, that are supposed to be the
most. Well, yeah. And guess what? Some of them actually still serve in Congress.
Yeah.
Because some of them got like a month in jail. So you got a month in jail for raping an 11-year-old, but you still have a seat in Congress.
Yeah, that's elite deviance at its finest, just being above the law. That's what that is, unfortunately.
Well, it's kind of like they just a couple of days ago, they found Rashida Tlaib guilty of ethics violations because she took money from her campaign that was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, who controls the ethics committee? The House. Who sits on the ethics committee? A judge from Florida that was disbarred is sitting on the ethics committee, but they're like, oh, well, she didn't intend to take the money.
Mm-hmm.
There was no intention to defraud. So we're just going to say she has to pay it back.
Mm.
No penalties, no fines, no jail time, no censorship, no nothing else. Just bad girl, here, pay it back. And then you have Ilhan Omar, who has admitted, and even as early as last month, or as late as last month, was bragging about it on the campaign trail at a stop that she had given her boyfriend, who's now her husband, not her brother husband, but her other husband that's not her brother, almost $1 million now. And guess what? Not a fucking thing's going to happen to her either.
No.
Because who controls the committee? The fucking Democrats do. Who's the one breaking the rules? The fucking Democrats.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's just, these are revelations that hard pills to swallow when I was a Democrat, and like we said, there were Republican congressmen as well that mm-hmm. were involved in this. So, we're not saying
absolutely.
It's one side. My thing is right now, and for the time being, the Democratic Party is the Trojan horse for all of this.
They are.
That's all it is. Globalism's just trying to find a way to get in there, and they're saying, okay, we can use the Democratic Party. And the reason why is because a lot of people that support the Democratic Party are, they're good natured people. However, like they're very, how do I explain this? I don't want to say this without, sounding bad, but they don't think pragmatically. They often think with emotion, if that makes sense.
Right. Right. It does.
And they are fueled more by emotion than they are by logic, you know? And so that's where advertising works for a reason, right? So in marketing, you're trying to, honestly, if you really want to look at the history of marketing, it was started by, I believe, and I could be wrong, the brother of Sigmund Freud or a relative of Sigmund Freud. So it was a psychological ploy. So advertising works because it tugs on emotional strings. Rather than saying, I'm going to sell you this product because it can do A, B, and C feature, you say, I'm going to sell you this product because it makes you feel sexy, right?
Right.
When you operate on emotion, you're more prone to advertisement, you're also more prone to mind control and you're more prone to subversion. When you think pragmatically and logically, your brain does not, you know, respond as well to that kind of stimuli. So the Democratic Party, if you think about it, I just think of like a lot of my buddies that are artists and, you know, like, you know, a little bit more creative centric. They're the ones that fall for all the, you know, oh, you don't care about the children if you, you know, you want guns, and you don't care about black people if you don't support Black Lives Matter, and you don't care about the LGBTQ community, you know.
Hey, wait, I got a good one.
Yeah.
You don't care about the kids in cages. Exactly. As they post pictures of kids in cages from the Obama administration.
Oh, I love that one.
It doesn't even matter if the source is fake, false, phony, made up, horseshit, goobers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be able to get somebody emotionally to be like, oh my God, no, it's wrong. It's all Trump's fault.
Yeah.
It happened under Obama, honey. Oh, well, but that's okay.
Yeah, just like,
and it is. It's all emotional.
Just like it's okay to protest, you know, but then all of a sudden we're going tish tish again because there's a round two and we're blaming Trump, you know, and all this stuff.
Right.
But, by the way, it's really getting kind of, it's just like the longer this goes on, you do realize that we're not going to be able to return to normal. Like, I mean, the more we hear about the new normal, the more, you know, just like with the language of, that we were saying about, you know, whether it's alternative healing or, you know, Department of Defense, you know, you're seeing words like new normal, right. You know, anti-masking. The longer this stuff goes on, the less probability we have of going back to normal and more probable of establishing a new normal. And that's what we're trying to avoid. You know, we discussed one of those Q posts, and one of the things that the last Q post talked about was that this could possibly be a almost like a test run to see for future
what they can get away with.
Right. A test run to see what they can get away with, you know?
And I just want to say that we have a fucking member of the legislature here in Tennessee that made her rounds on the lovely talk shows over the weekend that decided that she thinks they should put forth legislation stating that any Tennessean who refuses to wear a mask or doesn't wear a mask, even if you have a medical condition that prevents you from doing so, if you don't wear a mask, you should be charged and tried for murder or attempted murder.
Oh my God.
A member of the fucking legislature.
It's like, so they're basically saying it's like the equivalent of like if you have like an STD and you don't tell the person, like you give the person like a virus or something.
Oh, but hey, that's okay as long as you live in California.
Oh, yeah.
Because the California legislature made it so that people that are HIV positive no longer have to share that information with anybody, not even the sexual partners or doctor, because that's not appropriate.
Ugh, imagine that conversation. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just so ass backwards. I keep looking at the progressive movement, and everything about it is regressive. Everything about it is moving backwards, you know?
Hey, and on that note, let's just talk about fucking Biden's VP pick.
Yep.
It is time.
Clone Mala Harris.
Clone Mala. Hey, I have a fantastic idea.
Go ahead.
for something that they can do for a commercial to make money. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's called Hiding Biden Bedding.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You know, because she likes to be bedded.
Yes, she does.
Hiding bedding.
What if we did something like, instead of scratch and sniff, we could do like a suck and sniff kind of thing?
Suck and sniff, tug and touch.
Tug and touch. Oh, it could go on for days.
Sniff and blow.
Sniff and blow. That sounds like a law firm.
Joe and the hoe.
Hey, oh my God, Joe and the hoe.
Joe and the hoe. Hey, how about this? She puts out while they keep him in. Kamala blows Biden's chances.
That's a headline. These are giving me ideas for a song. I mean, I think it's time for a Kamala Harris song. There are,
I know, right?
They're scrubbing all of her shit. You know, they're scrubbing all of her past right now, right? Didn't they scrub tweets and all kinds of other stuff?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And then she comes on, was it MSNBC, looking like a robot, looking like a demonic version of herself?
And then she came out and said that she had some plastic surgery done. Bitch, that was not plastic surgery. If it was, they rearranged your whole fucking face and your head. So they swapped you out for something else.
If I play devil's advocate, is there any way that like it was lighting combined with makeup that could have caused that? Or no? No. Okay.
No, it totally changed her features.
Her feature facial?
Her facial features.
There we go.
Yeah. So, you know, we're gonna need to like have our listeners like give us some more Heels Up Harris information, and they can come up with their own touchy slogans.
I like it.
That would be fantastic.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like suck and sniff instead of scratch and sniff. Like some new, you know, remember the whole scratch and sniff? You know, you could do a suck and
sniff.
I think I'm going to coin that.
Hey, Kamala Harris got down on her knees. She looked up and begged him, please. And then she ate Willie Brown's cheese. Anyway.
Oh, man. Biden's
poetry hour.
The other thing is, like, Biden's mental decline is really just, like, the biggest topic of conversation, whether or not this guy's even going to make it. You know? Like, I'm really shocked to see if he's going to make it to November 3rd. They can't even selectively edit videos with him anymore, and they're adding subtitles to his edited videos.
I wonder if it's going to be the same genius that puts the subtitles on Kayleigh McEnany's daily press briefings.
Oh, they put subtitles on hers too?
I don't know if anybody has ever watched that. If you have not, especially on Fox, it's fucking hysterical because whoever is typing, it has nothing to do with anything. Yesterday, there were things in there like dick and cheese and all kinds of things that she never even said. And so Greg and I were laughing about it. And I was like, you know, for anybody that's hearing impaired, that's watching the press briefing and they're reading what's on the screen, I think they're intentionally doing that so they can make her or Trump look retarded.
Right. No, I mean,
because that's literally the only time that I see that closed captioning or the subtitles on there is when it's either her or the president speaking. And whoever it is that's typing, it is like not even remotely close to what they say.
That's fucking crazy. It's just like we're behind the eight ball in every instance imaginable. And that's just how I know that, you know, we're over the target, you know? It's like, this is what authoritarian monolithic regimes do. Throughout the course of history, if you study history, they all do the same thing. And, you know, book burning, taking arms, you know, silencing opposition, you know, installing people into, you know, charge of, you know, like we talk about the Mockingbird media, installing, you know, intelligence agencies into our mainstream media and putting out propaganda. These are all things that have been happening for hundreds of years. And, you know, it's just, it never wins in the long run, but we are in an information warfare. And when I first started getting into this, I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, digital soldier, like, I think that's a little bit too much. It's not like we're going through boot camp and putting our boots on the ground and going over and fighting a war with guns. But the longer I get into this, we're in a psychological battle right now, in an existential battle. And there's former military people that look up to these big accounts that, you know, are disseminating really important information that needs to get out there. Some of these people are former military too, but so
right.
And when we're seeing like man down, you know, like when big accounts go down and they say man down, I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy, but then I kind of take a step back and look at this and I'm like, that's a digital soldier that just got taken out. He just got sniped, you know,
right.
and we need to pick him up the same way we would do on an actual battlefield. And if he gets a new account, we need to get his followers back up, recuperate him almost, you know, take him to the fucking hospital, get him stitched up and then get him back on the field and then say, hey, here he is. You know, let's get his following back up. This is kind of how this stuff works. So, you know, the information digital war that's happening right now is a real thing. And that's why when we're seeing this, I mean, they're waging an all out war, you know, trying to take out the higher ups, you know, the generals and the colonels and everything like that. And,
right.
You know, the higher ups, I guess you could say. So, it's scary. It's scary. I'm seeing a lot of accounts that I've been following that are getting taken out, and their backups and their backups to their backups, and, you know, including my cousin and your friend Tommy, you know?
Right.
So.
100%. You know, I haven't made any kind of backup account like that. You know, number one, I'm a tech retard.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, I know damn good and well, you know, that'll get taken down too.
Mm-hmm.
So people can follow me on Parler. It's the same name. It's at Deplorable Janet. But like I said, and I get on there and look because I can't get on Twitter, but it is not the same.
Yeah.
I miss my Twitter family.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about Twitter, and it, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, is that the blessing is that the news gets to you instantly, you know, and the thing with Parler, and I'm sure it is right now, it's probably very echo chambery.
Right.
And I understand, because I've gotten on Gab, I've gotten on like BitChute, I've gotten like on a bunch of different platforms and stuff, and it was just never like user friendly. And so,
right. And it's not, and people just don't. You know, like they do, like Twitter is an excellent source for news, because you've got so many people from all over the world that like instantly post news stories.
Right.
You'll see news stories on Twitter before they ever hit the actual news outlets.
That's what I'm saying. Like the Vegas shooting.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The Vegas shooting. I knew about the Vegas shooting before, you know, any of my other friends did, because I'm watching my friend live tweet saying, hey man, there's a shooting in Vegas. You guys are going to hear about this for the next year. Like blah, blah, blah. He's live tweeting this crap. And I'm like, oh my God. And then the news cycle comes in later, you know? So, you know, if you want shit, it's, you know, not only that, but you're getting all the different vantage points, and we're seeing live digital battles between, you know, big accounts. Like, I think there's a lot of coding going on. You know, we've talked about
right.
James Comey's cryptic coding, Tom Hanks's coding, Ellen DeGeneres's coding, you know, even the president's, you know, possible coding, you know,
right.
dishing out comms, you know, via tweets. So we're seeing how interesting the communication goes on Twitter, and how they use Twitter for even for, you know, coded language and stuff like that. So. It's interesting.
So, do you want to address the Dylan Wheeler?
Yes.
Video.
Yeah, I do. Because we watched that together, and we had. And just for those of you listening that don't know who Dylan Wheeler is, that's educating liberals. He built up a very large following on Twitter. You know, posting some really good stuff over the years. You know, just whether it was philosophical stuff, whether it was, you know, even Q based or Trump based, and then. He had a, what would you call it? Just, I guess, just an epiphany, and just kind mm-hmm. of, you know, denounced Q, denounced Trump, and made some videos as to why and gave his reasoning, which I think both you and I disagree on. And then we kind of defended him in a sense that, you know, at least I did. I can speak for myself. Right. I didn't think he was a psyop or a shill. Like many, you know, claim. I'm not a big fan of lynch mobs, but then some other stuff came out and I can't support him anymore. I still don't think he
And that's when I got mad.
Well, okay, go ahead and get into that.
Okay, well, first I want to preface it by saying Bob and I both were of the same agreement that we don't like, you know, the mob that comes for people, regardless of what side it's on. Mm-hmm. So whether it's left or whether it's right, if you start like taking other people down and stuff, I don't agree with that. His sole purpose, he said, was to be closer to God because he realized that, you know, he was reading Q drops and paying attention to the president more than he was reading scripture, and he needed to get closer to God. I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that. Some of the stuff in his video was super off base. However, what he posted on Parler the other day disturbed me so much that I was like, okay, now I have a problem.
Right.
Because he said, and I'm going to read it.
Go ahead.
I love and care about all children, but the fact is, hashtag Save the Children movement is just another manufactured trend to distract us while a new world order is pushed into place via COVID. One child is too many, and I'm not debating that, but most of these missing children also make it home safe, and we should be thanking God for that as well. All I'm saying is we should be fighting just as passionately for God-given rights and freedoms in this country before it's too late. Now, here's my problem with that. Number one, most of the 800,000 children that are actual reported missing, not included the ones that aren't reported, do not return home.
800,000 reported.
800,000 that are reported missing. So think about all the countries that don't have the reporting systems, or think about all the kids in foster care or in the CPS system that disappear and aren't reported. That's my problem. Okay. Save the Children is not a psyop. It is not. I mean, I'm a mom. I'm vocal because, number one, I think about our kids. And number two, I think about your kids and people's kids that I don't even know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not fake. So I had to respond. And I said, look, I supported you for turning to God. I don't agree with the hate mob attacking you because it's no different than what the left does. A great deal of your, quote, information has been baseless or completely off balance, but I still was silent. I would not attack you. This, however, is in my area of expertise. This is a complete horse manure statement. Most of the children are never recovered or even found. No bodies ever located or recovered. I'm part of a movement to recover these children who can't speak for themselves. I'm not a paid actor or a distraction. I'm a mom fighting for other people's children. Wonder if you'd call a distraction if your own child disappeared. I bet not.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. Where he really messed up is when he said most of the children return home safely. That was
don't worry about it. It's kind of like he was saying, "Oh, it's all fake. Like all these children don't go missing. They just, you know, like hide them for a while and then they come home."
I mean, we're talking about the number one aspect of this new world order is the global human trafficking trade. Like that's like the number one thing.
And it's the largest money maker in the world.
Right. And it's what fuels all of this because it fuels the blackmail aspect of it, you know, which we right. which we talk about, you know, Ghislaine and Epstein videotaping all this, you know, for the purpose of blackmail. It's a whole blackmail scheme. It's a global blackmail scheme. So to say that, here's the thing, when he said, you know, hashtag save the children is a distraction from the new world order ushering in, you know, from COVID ushering in. Okay, like I could maybe play devil's advocate and say, okay, while we're saying hashtag save the children, they're saying there's coin shortages and they're going to paperless and they're, you know, they're still, you know, we're still wearing masks, you know, the country's not open and, you know, they're going to try to go to RFID chips and they're pushing towards vaccinations, but we're saying save.
Side note though, a lot of child trafficking happens through the Bitcoin.
Yes.
And through. And through electronic currency exchanges.
By the way, cryptocurrency is what it's called, you know. So
right.
I'm so glad you said that because that's the one thing that always scares me about the digital currency is where, you know, kind of, I don't know if necessarily that's where it began, but I mean, the dark web is where a lot of that stuff was happening and that's what they were using, you know. So that's dark, right. That's dark money right there.
So how do you think? And people don't know this, but like I said, I'm a psycho because I keep up with all this crap. However, that is one of the ways that they have been able to bust a lot of these big trafficking rings is through watching the cryptocurrency and watching these leaders. And keep in mind, people, wasn't too terribly long ago that who? Mark Zuckerberg wanted to start their own Facebook cryptocurrency exchange. Huh. Keep that in mind, because the same people that are censoring and taking down Save the Children movement as being a, quote, crazy QAnon conspiracy by the deep state to traffic children are the same people that are involved in the cryptocurrency market and exchanges and exchanging personal information with foreign actors that want to destroy the United States. Mainly China. Anyway, China.
But
so I'm just saying.
It's, you know, that's where, like, you know, with, you know, like with Dylan Wheeler, where I think he fucked up is because, you know, you can kind of play devil's advocate with the first part of that statement. You know, if you believe that Save the Children is the Bill Gates thing and it's, you know, deflecting you away from, you know, what the coronavirus bioweapon is trying to do, I guess you can play devil's advocate there. But he fucked himself with the next sentence. That's what he did.
Yes.
So that being said, and I'm not changing my statement as far as I don't think he's a shill. What I'm trying to say is I no longer support him or his platform. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There's a big difference between being a shill. Because, listen, his social media goes back way, way, way far. I mean, this would be the very long play of a shill. Did he get paid off? I don't know. Did he accept the deal? I don't know. But it just, I watched a live stream. I really think he's turning back to scripture, and I can understand some of it because even with the QAnon community, it's a problem I've always had where I felt like some of these people get cultish, and it's like every time there's a new QAnon drop, because I used to follow these 24/7 Patriot boards, and it was like every time a QAnon or a QAnon posted, it was like, oh, God's speaking to us. God's speaking to us. Everybody stop. Let's read what God has to say. You know, and I was like, man, this is fucking weird, man. This is fucking weird. And I was just drawn away from it. So I I'll repeat what James of Pirate Radio said. I look at it as a source. I look at it as a source. That's it. If there's information that can help, and James said this too on the podcast with Jack, Conspiracy or Just Coincidence, which I thought was brilliant, is that if this Q, even if it's a LARP, can provide information and the people that are following it are disseminating information that can help with this awakening, then it's doing its purpose. When you look at it as a religion, that's problematic. If you're a man of God like Dylan is, and then you start looking to Q, he probably looks at that as a false prophet or a false idol.
And amen to that. Yeah.
And here's the other thing about this. Guys, ladies, we are in a business where, or in a game to where your mind can play fucking tricks on you when you get deep into this stuff. Like, I mean, you question everything, and there is a certain level of psychosis sometimes that you go through. I've gone through it. Janet's gone through it. Anybody that's in this game has gone through it, where you just, you give up trusting on anything, you know? And, and so those types of things, I'm not going to sit here and condemn him and say he's a government shill, but with some of the stuff I'm reading, like where he says Trump's even worse than Hitler, then I'm just like, all right, brother, like, you know, I just unfollow, you know, good luck to you and your journey. I hope you find what, you know, peace, you know, or what your truth is or whatever, you know, brings you peace.
And I'm just going to say the video that he posted was not that well received by a lot of people because there was a lot of false assumptions in there.
Right.
So he discusses like the university that, that Trump went to.
that's
Bob, do you know anybody that's gone to that university?
That is so fun. I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay, so he discussed Trump going to Fordham University and going to Fordham University. Now, here's the thing. I think I was asleep during this part, but did he mention that, what, because it's Jesuit?
He said because it's a Jesuit university, that means that Trump is on top of the pyramid of the people that control the world. And that because Trump attended that university, that means he's a high priest in the Jesuit order. And so he's a two-headed snake because he controls the world.
Well, guess who else went to Fordham University and has a certificate that I am currently staring at right now? The one and only Bob's Lessons, myself. I'm a graduate of Fordham. Hey, maybe that's why I'm protected by Twitter, because I'm a black.
That must be why you've never gotten any shadow bans or anything.
Here's the other
thing. That means that you're a black Jesuit priest at the top of the New World Order.
You know, and he's saying
and you're a two-headed snake too.
He was saying that, but then he was defending the image of him from 7 years ago on his Instagram post where he has the devil horns with, you know, DH, I guess it was his initials, right? And people were lambasting him for it, saying, look, he's the devil. And he was like, oh, I was just doing this for a picture. Well, you're doing the same thing with the straw man argument with Donald Trump. And it's all there was a couple things that were very straw man about it.
Right.
Now, let's go back on even my, you know, Facebook. I've been in bands. Guess what you do when you play rock and roll? You do that little devil horn thing. I guarantee you can find pictures of me in devil horns. Remember that Halloween, Janet, where somebody put bunny ears on me, third set of the show?
I still have that picture. It's awesome.
So you could do a thread on me if you know, just based on those stupid images. That's why, like, when people post images, you know, like, oh, look at so-and-so with so-and-so. Like, yo, these people are fucking billionaires. They're going to hang out with each other. Now, if there's a fucking, you know, whole plethora, and then we're seeing that, like, you know, Oprah's interviewing fucking John of God and going to his, you know, estate and propping him up. That's a little bit different than just being pictured with John of God, you know, that.
And I just want to say, guilty as charged on the devil horns, because, that's what Greg and I do, is go to concerts all the time. And you will see that at every show that you go to.
Yes.
It's devil horns. And it doesn't mean devil horns. When you go to a show, it's the sign for rock and roll.
Right. And you can make the argument that that is a subversive method. You know, like, that's a way of getting devil into, you know, like getting the demonic energy into the world is through the use of rock and roll. You can make that argument. But however, we're talking about the people that throw that symbol up at shows, or, like, you know, it's just a very common thing for people in the music industry. Like, hey, your band, post for this picture, you know, throw up the horn, or throw up, you know, rock and roll, or whatever the hell you're going to say. I was watching AC/DC live shows. I mean, and they were giving out, like,
all time.
Yeah. Like, they threw
all time.
And here's the thing. Like, I have a hard time listening to some of this music because of some of this stuff now, but, you know, we're talking about some BS, like straw man anecdotal bull crap, and he wants us to believe him with this devil horn thing, but then he turns around and says, well, here's a picture of Trump with so-and-so, and here's a picture. He uses that same video that the left used with Trump, you know, talking to Jeffrey Epstein from like 1992, you know.
And I just want to say also in his video, Trump was meeting with a world leader, and he was holding up a large envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that that envelope meant that Trump was a Mason.
Oh,
there's no pictures of Trump in a Mason apron. There's no pictures of Trump that I've ever seen proving that he's a Mason. He just said since he was holding an envelope, he was a Mason. Well, then I must be a fucking Mason, even though females aren't invited into the Masons, because motherfuck, I have held an envelope a lot in my life.
Yeah, I bring an envelope
and
to
so has, my life. And so has everyone else, because if you get your mail out of the mailbox, you've been holding an envelope. So, motherfuckers, you're all Masons.
Everybody.
Every one of you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I wish the kid well, and, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't think we need to, like, put pitchforks on him and say he's a shill.
No.
Just let your dollar speak, let your time speak,
right.
Let your follow speak, let your, you know, the dollar can go a long way. So if you're following on Patreon, you don't like them, you don't like the message anymore, well, unfollow.
Right.
Or if you subscribe to on YouTube, you don't like the message, unsubscribe. I mean, simple as that. You know, I've seen people in the past denounce Q after following Q. I followed a channel called Anti-School, like, religiously. I really liked the guy. He was my age and he was kind of hip, and he was, you know, he talked about stuff. You know, his whole thing was, this is anti-school, the things you don't learn in school. And after a while, he did not like the Q community, and he, you know, he didn't like following anymore, and he thought it was a psyop. And so he chose to bounce. And I still follow him on Instagram. He doesn't post anything conspiratorial or news. He wiped his Instagram clean, and now he sells, like, real estate. So, I mean, he just made a choice,
right,
that either he wanted out of the game, you know, he wanted to. And you got to respect that. And a lot of people called him a shill after he flipped.
Right.
And I didn't like that. So, you know.
See, and that's the thing. To me, I don't like personally attacking other patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I will go after the media because they're fucking retarded.
Right.
That's a different story. But
well, you're
usually,
going after the machine. Like, you're going after a machine. It's not even like,
right,
you know.
And even like everyday people, if they attack me when I was actually able to get on Twitter, if they attack me, I never come back at them with name calling or anything like that. I'm like, you know, well, be blessed, or I'm glad your family's doing well, or whatnot. Number one, they hate that, and it usually shuts them down.
Hmm.
But I always try to never attack somebody personally, because number one, you don't know what that person has been through that day.
Right.
You don't know this person directly. You know what I'm saying? You've never met most of these people, like, ever. So I'm not going to attack other accounts. I'm going to build other accounts up and whatnot. If I don't like them, I won't follow them anymore. The only reason that I responded to his thing on Parler was to give him some context that, no, those children are not recovered.
I actually
and they
thought
don't
your,
just come home.
I thought your comment was great because it wasn't attacking. You actually,
yeah,
you
no.
started it by saying, listen, I supported you and backed you, but, you know,
right,
this is... This is
but
what
this
you're saying.
This one is off base,
yeah.
And let me tell you why.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't like, fuck you, I'm going to kill your family, you know, all that shit.
Right, which a lot of the stuff that he gets after, you know, he, like, disavowed Q and all that stuff, it was so crazy. I've been there before. People like to threaten you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to expose you. They want to kill you. They want to kill your family. They're going to show up at your house. They're going to dox you. You name it. It's out there. There's all colors of crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the hate that he got was insane. People don't do that. Please. Just don't do that. Because by doing that, you're doing exactly what, quote, they want you to do.
Right.
They want you to attack each other. They want you to stay divided. They want you to hate each other for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
That's just not me. I'm not into
and
that.
I'm not into that either. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, people are like, oh, he flipped so quick. Listen, I turned on the Bush family in one day, it was one day, one joint, and a YouTube rabbit hole. That's all it was. Right. It took one day, one fucking joint, and 12 hours of YouTube rabbit holes for me to flip my whole fucking world upside down. Like, whoa, the Bushes are involved in 9/11. Oh, fuck, look at the Clintons are doing. You know, and it's like, you know, whether or not his revelation was based or whether it's off base, like it, you can flip. Like that's what, you know, revelations are. And, you know, maybe an epiphany or maybe it was a long time coming. I don't know. All I'm saying is, yeah, go ahead.
Think about this. In the video, he says he's been praying for discernment. Discernment can also come to you in the form of the devil speaking. Mm. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Because people that have the gift of discernment, they can feel other people's feelings. They can, it's kind of like you hear a message like you need to go do this or you need to go speak to that person or whatnot. So that voice coming to you, especially if you don't have mental clarity, that can also be coming from Satan. Just sure. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff to think about. It really is. It's a lot of stuff to think about. But, you know, I guess the important thing is, you know, and we preach this all the time, is to think for yourself, you know, is to trust in your intuition and where it leads you. Because it will, it, you know, if your intuition and your intention are in the right place, you know, you're going to discover some truths. And you know, like I always say, or I didn't say this, but, you know, Owen Benjamin was the one that turned me on to this idea is, I may be wrong, but I'm not lying. And I think that's important. Right. You know, it's okay to be wrong if you feel like your intention's in the right place and you're telling the truth. So what else that allows you to do, and this is one of the things I actually admire about Dylan, you know, or just people in general. And I have respect for people that do this when they're not afraid to pivot when given new information. Right. So I don't have a problem with you pivoting. You may pivot away from what I think, and I may say, you know what, I can't follow you anymore. I appreciate that. But it takes a lot of courage to admit you're wrong or to admit what you think was correct is now incorrect. You have to swallow your pride. You have to sacrifice money. You have to sacrifice your reputation. So, you know, in some ways, like, if he isn't a shill, you know, which I don't think he is, like that does take some courage. You know, that being said, I think he, you know, the message is off base. So.
Yeah. And I agree with that. But like I said, I'm not going to attack somebody head on by name calling and whatnot. Cause that's no different than what people hate from other sides of the coin. I'm not going to do that. And if you're turning to God for more clarity in your life, more power to you. Because I think a lot of people need that.
Side note, I'm already seeing like a trending, it says phony Kamala. It says Trump campaign positions Kamala Harris as a phony in new attack ad. So I guess phony Kamala is going to be his name for Kamala Harris. I can't wait to see what Trump's nickname is going to be for her. This is great. Oh, he's already got a fucking attack ad. It's his pinned tweet.
I love it. Yeah. I can't even look. I'm going to have to make Greg show me.
Oh, man. He's already on to her. Oh, God. This is so good. Pinned tweet.
As soon as we got the information that she was the VP pick, Greg's like, oh, my God, Twitter's going insane because everybody's like making memes and whatever. I got an email about this literally over a month ago that they started scrubbing her history.
Yes, yes.
Off of the internet. So that told me at that particular time that was going to be who got it.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that was a good tip off. What I'm watching with this right now, okay, so what this attack ad with Donald Trump is they're saying is that they're trying to show you that he's a transition candidate. I'm looking at this right now. Handing over the reins to Kamala, jointly embrace the radical left. They call him Slow Joe and Phony Kamala, perfect together, wrong for America. They're trying to say that Joe Biden isn't going to make it through his presidency.
He's going to step out.
Yeah, that's big on a campaign ad. You know, you don't really see something like that. You know, that's unbelievable. Wow.
And I think that's exactly right because, and here's the thing, The Federal Election Commission, which I'm not sure, I haven't looked into yet, who sits on that, but they denied the fourth debate. They denied an extra debate, moving it up to the front, you know, to where people could actually see a debate before they went and cast a ballot in a lot of states, because the early voting starts like way earlier than the debates do. And the Federal Election Commission is like, oh, no, we can't approve that. The Biden team said no, and so we can't approve that, but we're going to need lots more money, and we're going to need to secure all these mail-in voting, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, there is no way, since they're not letting him add another debate, they're not going to debate before early voting has started in most states. And I'm like, there's no way in hell he's going to be removed because he's too mentally declined to do it. And my prediction is they're going to put Michelle Obama in there.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to write another dick song about her.
I know, like, right?
Sequel.
Hey, Mike. Anyway, so who do you think they're going to stick in there?
I mean, honestly, Michelle Obama is not a bad idea. You know, it's the only thing I'm not worried about, but you know, if it, I just feel like there's so much shit on Michelle Obama that I think Trump will just fucking unleash it. You know, I really do. I think it could be problematic. I kind of like the whole Pelosi idea. I'm not saying I like it, but you know, like what you were saying, right, is if the election results don't, you know, hold through, right, then Pelosi, you know, basically takes over. So I could see something like a Pelosi.
I'm just going to say I'm not off base, because the Federal Election Commission yesterday put out a thing, a presser, that said, do not expect the votes to be counted by the 4th.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to end up with something like, you know, in 2000, except probably like on steroids, you know?
Yeah. They're going to put Nancy Pelosi in there.
Oh, my God.
She's going to control China, don't you know?
I can't even imagine what our country's going to be like.
It'll be brilliant. So everybody go out and vote. Use your voice and vote, even if you've never voted before. Vote like your life depends on it, because it does.
How optimistic are you?
Me? 100%.
Me too.
100%.
Yeah, I'm extremely optimistic.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. I think Patriots are in control, as they say.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to wrap it up because mommy has to tinkle.
Oh, sure.
Like a racehorse.
Sure.
So anyway, where can they find you at, Mr. Bob?
All right. Well, right now on Twitter, I have no bans. I'm scot-free for now. At Bob's Lessons, BOBSLESSONS. Patreon.com/SideshowBob. Those are the main ways to find me. Instagram at Bob's Lessons as well. So those are the main three platforms that I use. And I'm going to be coming out with some new songs here soon, now that we got a VP candidate. And I've been sitting on this Donald Trump campaign song that, you know, I've been waiting to put out for a while. So it's time to make a video for it.
And I love it.
Yep.
It's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
So you can follow me at Deplorable Janet, only on Patreon right now because I'm still banned on Twitter. If and when they ever let me back on Twitter, you can follow me at Twitter at the same handle. Please make sure you like, subscribe, download our Deplorable Nation podcast. Leave us a nice review. That would be fantastic. The more reviews and ratings we get, the further up in the numbers it pushes us. We like to get the message out there and keep doing this. So for me, for Bob, reporting for Deplorable Nation, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.